Hello, everybody. Welcome to Applebiz Unleashed for March 2019. I am Thomas Domville, also go by the name of Manani Mouse. I am here with the crew once again. We got Randy Rushnack and Mike Malarcy with us today. How was your March, everybody?
Nice and warm. I'm happy. Except for last night. It did snow just last night. But up until then, it was warm.
Yeah, this is the time of the year in the Northern Hemisphere we start to get going back and forth with spring and winter, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, my March has been fine, except for it's been like 40s and then up into the 50s and then back down, just like you said. But it just, the snow is at least gone because it's been raining mostly.
Oh, so, yeah.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be with you. I had a special request from somebody that wanted me to do something for him. And so.
Hello, everybody.
So that's all you get.
I think Randy he just likes hearing himself. I think that's
no. I'm not listening to myself, believe it or not. But somebody sent me several requests, and I just wish you guys would just do something a little bit more sensible. Like, hey, you're doing a good job, and don't instead of saying, hey, do some silly noises.
I think he's just excited to not be in his car this time. He's got.
I am. Oh my god. For those of you who don't know, I was commuting for hours doing lots of tech presentations, and I'm glad to be somewhere stable. That's not moving.
Hey, man, it's all good. I'm just glad we're all here. It's been quite a month. Been a lot of, my gosh, Apple was very busy this month once again.
It's showtime.
The Showtime keynote comes out, and before I get to the Showtime, a couple of notes to make is, please write this down on your calendar for June 3rd of 2019. That is going to be the official WWDC opening date and plus keynote. That's, you know, I was just talking to Mike about this yesterday. I was thinking, if there was one keynote that I can only listen to all of them, this would be the one I would not miss. I could miss the spring. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. The phone would be difficult, but I could probably skip that too. But you guys feel the same way, or do you feel like the hardware in the fall is more important?
No, I like the third. I do.
Same for you, Mike.
It just, I don't know, like the hardware stuff is just not changing that much. I guess the bigger changes that are going to have a larger impact on me are going to be on the software side of things. So that's,
I know, right? So the that's what I was thinking. I think we don't know what to expect because the leaks are so horrible in the past couple of years when it comes to hardware. It's like we already know what's coming. And like you say, I get more excited with not knowing, and then all of a sudden they reveal it to us. And it seems to be a lot more cool.
It doesn't happen anymore.
No, not anymore, but they sure hide the WWDC, what we can expect, iOS stuff, and that's the only thing that's sacred anymore.
You know where most of our leaks are coming from, at least at my end, are from YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wondered for a while if they were just kind of letting it happen, the leaks and things like that, just because it keeps people talking about them constantly.
I know, right?
Yeah, but have you ever had it been talked about and talked about and talked about, and then you realized everything that they said was all wrong? Well, that's not true. You know, it's
I'm still waiting for that projector keyboard.
I know.
I've been talking about that for years.
Well, there was no exception for this month. I mean, almost everything that we talked about last month was right on. I mean, everything that we talked about. The only thing that was different, and Apple was really sneaky about this, and I will say they surprised everybody, and they did that dribble effect where they dropped the Monday before the keynote, the iPad mini and the iPad Air, and then the next day they update to the iMac, and then Wednesday we got the new AirPods. I was like, oh my God, that is kind of sort of cool, and I think in a PR stance, it made a lot more sense than to trying to jam everything to one and you kind of forget about a certain hardware. I mean, did you, I kind of sort of like that, especially when it comes to devices we talk about isn't all that changed. There's not that much difference. Like the iPad mini and iPad Air, for example. They mentioned that and it was, I mean, it was just updated. That's basically all we got out of this, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you guys feel? Yeah, yeah, right, Tom.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I'm reading my lines, yes. Yes, sir. You're right.
No.
No. I mean, well, how do you guys feel about them announcing this before the keynote?
I like it, but this one kind of snuck up on me, to be honest with you. I woke up and was having coffee, and I was looking at something on Twitter, and I went, whoa, what's going on here? They really jumped the gun, because my tech friend and I, he and I were driving up, we were going to listen to it on the way up. Way up north near the Canadian border there, you know. And so we thought, this is going to be kind of fun, because you'll hear all that. Then they snuck in on us 2 days early.
Right.
I don't mind it. I just wish I would have known about it, but I was in a position where I couldn't have actually heard it. So I thought, well, I just will depend on friends to trickle everything down. And to be honest with you, I wasn't really that interest. Well, it's not that I wasn't interested, but it didn't excite me as much as other stuff did. So I thought, well, I'll just let it go, and I won't just, think about why I missed so much.
Well, it wasn't just you. I think everybody was surprised. I mean, it just came across my news wire. I said, what? They announced that?
I know.
I kind of like it, just because it caught everybody so off guard.
It did, and yeah, I kind of like it that we can just kind of like focus on one thing instead of a 20,000,000 of tweets and news about everything that I get kind of lost and forget about it. I thought it was smart on their part. Obviously, if you guys, there's a dime a dozen podcasts out there when it comes to in-depth podcasts about the extra notes. So if you guys want to hear any of the in details of summary of the It's Showtime events, go ahead and listen to Extra number 65 with Dave Nason along with everyone else. We're only going to just touch a few things. I'm not going to go into details like the iPad iMini. They were great. I love the update. I think it's wonderful. They got the pencil, but no Face ID, nothing. It's just the same old stuff.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting. You notice it starts to do in threes. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's in threes, because they said the iPad Mini is the lower entry, and then they have the medium entry iPad Air, and the iPad Pro is the high end. It's almost like the phone, you have the entry high level. So I was not all that. I mean, sure, it's great to see an update. I think the iMac that needed an update, and that was fantastic. But I think it was Wednesday that got a lot of people's attention, the AirPods. I'm going to ask you guys first, what did you think of the AirPods second generation in terms of hardware specification, all that? Was it something that was really, wow, I'm going to go get these?
Now I'm starting to hear about, this is the first generation. Now I'm hearing about, oh man, my battery life is just sucking. And it's terrible and blah, 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 blah. And now they are coming out with, then they find, things that are wrong with the AirPods. And so I thought, whew, I'm glad that I didn't get it. I mentioned this before, the Gem earbuds, AirPods that work on Bluetooth instead of that proprietary software that, and I don't remember the name of it, that Apple has. But my battery life is great. It's really, really good. And with the second generation of AirPods, I think it's probably going to be a lot better. But this is just my take on it. I would much rather have another piece of hardware with something else rather than spend $100 and some. What is it, $149 or $199? Somewhere in between there for AirPods. I want something else. I don't want them.
Now, Mike, you have one. Are you going to replace yours with the second generation?
I might, actually, to be honest with you. I use mine all the time. I did maybe 2 weeks ago buy a new phone. And nowadays, I mean, like I said, I use them like all the time, because most of the stuff that I listen to, I can't play out loud around my kids. So
now we know.
Daddy, what are you listening to? Oh, nothing, honey.
Just,
nothing. Why is it a smile on your face, dear? Well, because I'm happy.
It's a good radio book. It's a very happy.
Yeah.
It's very educational.
Now you know what kind of people we really are off air.
But when I plug my phone at the end of the day, it's almost always above 60%. I've never had a problem with battery life. I've never had a problem with the headphones themselves.
Okay, watch today. You'll go zip right down to zero.
I would say that's probably the number one thing I've heard from existing AirPod users that have had it more than a year, per se, that the charge life is starting to dwindling really quick, and a lot of them are wanting to get a second pair anyway, and it was a good timing. So, you know, you have that charging aspect that seems to die out. So it seems to be dying out a little bit quicker on these things, which is something to be aware of, that these things don't last more than a year to 2 years, which is kind of sad.
So now you've got they don't last quite as long, but I'm constantly swapping them out anyway. Like, I just put one in, I'll be listening to whatever, and then if I would hear that little sound, I'll just swap it out for the other one and then keep going about my business.
So now you've got two takes on it. What about you, Thomas? Did you ever get a pair?
I never got a pair, just simply because I have hearing aids.
Shut up, Mike.
And it doesn't work for me, and that's fine. But if I could, let's just say I had the first pair and I had no problem, I would not get the second pair. Here's the reason. Okay, so I don't think this is a second generation. I knew it was going to be 2.0, and I said, this ain't 2.0. This is more like a 1S, because, yeah, it's got the Hey Siri. Sure, that's nice. And it's got the new connectivity that allows you to connect to your phone quicker, like 50 or 60% faster. However, what I'm hearing is a lot of people, Apple was saying the latency is improved, and that's huge. And the blind community, because we want to be able to get that voiceover lagging to go away. But my understanding, it isn't substantial, which is kind of a big deal. So it's like, I'm not going to upgrade if it's not going to be substantial. Battery charge time is the same. The play time is the same. The only thing that's different is talk time. You get one extra hour. I'm thinking, how many people talk on that thing? But the point is that I didn't think it was that significant of a difference. I'm waiting for third generation with noise cancellation and a lot more big features. And battery, it would be great if we could have better battery life. But there's no changes to it. So I was kind of like, well, that's kind of stupid.
You heard about the rumors, didn't you, about the third generation coming up that with more battery life? You've heard about...
What, you're going to be putting have 12 volt batteries on each side of your head?
You know, you're pretty close, but there's a little, what I heard, the rumor is that there's a little jack that it has like two ends on it for like a post, I don't know how to describe it, a post conductivity, and you'll be able to take those. Sorry. You'll be able to take those posts and put them on a car battery and strap that on your back, and away you go. I couldn't do it straight. That was my April Fool's thing for.
That was a good one. That way it'll last all day.
All day long on a 12-volt battery.
It has a one-week life.
That's right. So now we're all anticipating. Mike, what did you get for a phone?
Whatever that new one's called, the big one. I can't even keep
The big R phone, the big R Apple phone,
the big R Max,
not the Max one, the little R.
Oh, the little R,
the smaller R.
Oh,
I never related the two together.
How do you like the little R phone there, Michael?
Well, I thought I was really going to miss the home button, but I don't.
Okay, I'll just say that I've been playing around with some Android phones, and they didn't have home buttons. I didn't care.
Yeah,
I'm used to it.
I haven't. I mean, that button's been there for my like entire adult life, so you know that's a big change. But
it says home. By the end of the day, I'm like,
oh, yeah. I actually don't care about that button at all.
Face ID,
it's great.
Mm-hmm. You have any problems?
No, none. It's been awesome.
A lot of people are saying, well, I did not say a lot of people. There are some people who are saying they hate the Face ID. It doesn't.
Maybe it's their face. I don't know that.
Yeah, right.
I'm not saying that it's their face. But
you heard it here, folks. Mike says it's your ugly face.
That's not at all what I said. I didn't say it was ugly.
But what happens if you're two-faced? Then what do you do? Does it have like two special things on it? You know, like being you're a hateful and dumb person anyway. Let's just give you a two-faced.
You have to wear your mood ring so it completely back and tell what kind of mood you're in. So
hey, that's what they should have is a mood ring sensor.
Probably will.
I'm happy. Let's unlock the phone. I am really mad. Okay, yeah. Well, your phone is locked.
You know what? They should actually do that, but block all social media when it knows you're in a bad mood.
That's a great idea.
Put a breath analyzer on it. So if you're drunk texting, it'll emit.
There's like four or five prompts. Are you sure you want to send this message?
No, that's Microsoft. That's not Apple.
Are you sure? So later on that week, we got It's Showtime. Mm-hmm. I will admit that I did watch it later that evening, but I ended up turning it off when I got to the TV part. I was kind of at that point, I was kind of like, hey, only because I knew what came out of it. I already read all the articles and stuff, and I just like, well, that was a real letdown. I mean, my gosh, you know, this tells you something. When Wall Street or the stock is not impressed and the stock didn't go up, usually the stock goes way up when they announce something. Go, oh, my God, we got to go there. But this did not happen. People are like, So it was one of those...
It's because they're showing up late to the game again. There's already a million streaming services out there, and now here Apple is rolling in. And
well, they're always a little late with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't think people care about another streaming service, another thing to pay for.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so we got the News Plus, which we all knew from last month it was coming, and we talked about how really, I mean, the stuff that's in there, I'm already getting through my NFB, Newsline, and Bard. I read my magazines and newspaper through there. So I just don't see – I see sighted people or content hogger that wants to pay the $9.99. I think it's a great deal for those people, but
– Yeah.
Yeah.
We get all kinds of magazines for free from Bard, and you're right, the Newsline, and heck, Newsline, you can even put on the A-Lady devices now.
It just didn't interest me.
As a
blind user, it's really cool to – well, at this stage anyway, it's really cool to – have low or no vision, you know, because you get all your magazines and you don't have to pay $9.95, you know.
True, but here's a kicker, though. This is what I've been hearing from the actual blind community that have tried it, and some of the magazines are in PDF form.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. Now, I haven't got to the point where is that PDF readable, or do you have to like scan each darn page? And so there are some things to think about if you decide to go down that path.
Or are they in a format that we can't read on PDF, picture form? Is that how they are working it, or don't we know? Because if they are, then so the people that you know, are they up in arms about this, or are they actually reading their PDF files? Because let's be honest, PDF files are pretty darn easy to read on an iPhone now.
Well, it just depends. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know. Like, if you get a mail with a PDF, obviously it opens up and Apple does its own. It tries to do its own primitive OCR on it. But I don't know the fact if the news app itself would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. So that's something for you guys to find out and send us an email. We would be curious if it's accessible or not. But nonetheless, News Plus was kind of a ho-hum for the blind community, and I see why, but I guess if you aren't getting some of the magazines that you really love, I suppose that would be a good way to do that.
I've just never been a magazine kind of guy. Like, I used to buy them for the pictures anyway, not even for the articles.
What was the name of the magazines, Mike?
National Geographic.
Sure.
I was actually thinking like Snowboarder Magazine, things like that. I was not talking about those other ones.
Yeah.
Well, they could be on snowboard.
I mean, you know, I mean, there's some crossover. But
oh my God,
I don't know. Like, I listen to a million podcasts. There's just not anything that's really drawn me toward magazines in general. Let alone being willing to pay more money for something that might or might not work.
How much time do they think we have? I mean, you know. There's so many of us out here. Let's just say it. You know, people have lives. You know, you can't just consume. You know, since we get our magazines anyway, we're pretty lucky in that aspect. But man,
it just depends on your professional. I mean, if your profession is accountant, you might want to read.
You might.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying is that there's a lot of different magazines for a lot of different people that. That's all they read. So I can see it for certain people that want to do that, but as an average, I don't think this is going to work out. And I will say I was intrigued by the Apple Card. I was really intrigued. I'm going to have to do some researching, but I think I'm going to try to get an Apple Card and see what that's like.
And see how much more you can get in debt is what you're
saying. My idea was to dump my other credit cards and use this one. I really like the concept. I mean, obviously, if you have good credits, you're pretty much going to get all the same stuff, like no fees and stuff like that. Now, a higher the credit, you probably have fees and stuff like mine. I don't have fees. I don't go international, so I don't have to worry about those fees. I don't overdraw. I don't go over. So, I mean, I understand a lot of people get to that boat, and that is absolutely awesome that you don't have to deal with the fees. But I love the concept of the card that just has your name, no numbers, no expiration date, nothing. I love that concept. But I guess it's not a new thing. It is something that I am going to look into. Now, the interest rate, they claim to be the ultimate low. That's not true. I looked at it. It's a lot higher than you think. I think.
Trust us. We're at Apple.
Yeah. So weird to think.
It's just one of those lines like that. This is the most intuitive design we've ever.
Ooh, I like that. Would you be a podcaster, Mike?
I might be able to do that, actually. I've thought about it a couple times.
It's titanium.
I'll think about it.
With your name lasered etched.
Yeah. All I know is the stupid chip in my card now sucks, and it is always broken, and it never works, and it's a huge pain. So maybe I'll try it. I don't know.
Are you guys intrigued at all?
I am a little bit, but at the same time, if I'm going to go that route, I'm probably going to go with a card from an airline and travel.
Yeah, because you want the points. You want the points and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
I'm going to Italy later this year, and it would be nice to have.
I'm going to Wisconsin
for that. I hear Wisconsin's nice.
You'll rack them up there.
I went to Grand Marais, Minnesota. What is what's more than that?
As often as we go to Florida, that's what we use. We use the Southwest card, and it just gives us points, and that's how we rack it up. We do get free flights, so it just depends. I wish they had some perks like that to get free things, but they do give you daily free cash. I'm thinking 2%. Seriously, I mean, I just bought a new AirPod. $2.
You Apple, at least give me lunch with somebody important.
$2. It's like, how about you just notch down an interest rate for me? I'll take that instead.
Mm-hmm. Let me in the campus. I just want to eat lunch there. How about that? Just a free pass for lunch. On the Apple campus.
We also suspected, and it did come true, the Apple Arcade, the game services that nobody in the blind community will ever use.
I don't know if anybody will use it.
I don't know if anybody will either.
I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe for stay-at-home parents and little kids, this will be a huge hit. But for people like the people you see on Twitch, for example, I can't imagine this ever catching in.
It's going to be tough because there's already a heavy market on Xbox, PlayStation, Switch. They all have this gaming services. Are they going to pay $10 more for a mobile? I'm with you, Mike. I think parents with kids, I would definitely pay that for my kids so they wouldn't be racking up my bills.
So they wouldn't be bothering you? Yeah.
Well, they always want a new game. It's like, you just bought this.
I'll tell you the problem. Here's the problem with children and an Xbox is there apparently aren't parental controls or a way to turn off purchases on the Xbox. Who's no longer allowed to touch the Xbox, by the way, racked up $300 worth of Fortnite V-Bucks now. And I can't stop it. So if I could, maybe that would be a better idea. Like, here, just this is all you get now.
You can't roll it back?
I've looked in every email, everything, and they say all digital content purchases are final. It's a load of crap.
Man, Apple gets in a lawsuit because allow kids to do in-app purchases. That sounds like a lawsuit ready to happen there.
I can't stop it. And the Xbox is, it has a screen reader of sorts on it. But
I've always wanted to try that. Hey, Tom, should we go over to Mike's house and see what he's talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Play some Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
Play that game. I want all of it. I want all the packages.
I mean, the problem is that the screen reader thing doesn't work in the games themselves. Only in the menus on the outside.
Only to get to the games.
Yeah, you can start the game, but unless you know.
Matter. I'll find out if it's accessible or not after I load about 20 of these games. That one doesn't work. That doesn't work.
Let's all go to Utah. Yeah.
I think for those with low vision, obviously sight. I think this. If you're a gamer, I can see this. It seems like this one of all the services they announced seems to be getting a lot of discussion as in interest in. So, obviously.
So, do you think that the people that are in the in this community, do you think they will? Do you think a certain group?
I don't think in this community it's going to do it at all.
You don't think that they will say, hey, everything has to be accessible? And
oh, no doubt. There's already been talking to AppleViz that they want to let Apple know that we want accessible games in this game pack. We want to make sure that the people that don't have accessibility in it, that they be more aware of that so it can be included. So, and there's no doubt there will be a push and there will be some outcries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so, I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
And the reality is, though, that there are some games that you just can't make accessible.
And that's just the reality of it.
Yes.
So, no, I don't think anytime soon is going to be anything that we will want to do. Oh, my gosh, this TV Plus announcement. What a freaking letdown. God, they talked for almost an hour on this, and then they go, that's it? Anybody's like, what? And it'll be out this fall. I was like, how much? Oh, we're not going to tell you that. Yeah, we don't know the price yet. I think that was the biggest letdown. Again, we talked about this last month when Mike was saying, why do you guys introduce stuff that isn't going to come out for?
Yeah, we did talk about it. Yeah.
6+ months. And that's exactly what they did.
And then usually it'll come out and it still sucks. You can still, like, there's obvious bugs in it. And I don't know, like I said, that's why I like the whole, hey, surprise, here's new stuff that we haven't even talked about 2 days before when you all expected it. I like that because stop teasing me with it. Just let me have it.
It's just funny because I could have made a drinking game out of this keynote because the two things that kept coming up all the time, like, and it'll be available in X number of months. And I was like, what? And then the second thing, and will only be available in the United States initial launch. I was like, I felt so bad for people that internationally because almost every one of those was available in the United States. It'll be available in other countries someday.
Well, this is such an exciting podcast so far. I'm drinking right now, you guys. Just so if I don't make sense by the end of it, you guys will know why. And it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so we're all right.
Yeah, you're fine.
I was surprised, and they have never mentioned this, but I would like to see this, and I think this would be something that the blind community would like if they had a Book Plus, something like very much like Audible, like you can just pay $9.99 for unlimited books that you want, because now that's the area. Yes, I do get my books from Bookshare, everybody, and I do get my books from Bard. However, there are books I cannot find on either of those.
I'd probably pay for that too.
Well, I'm on an Audible subscription, and the reason that I am too is, yeah, you're right. You can get it all for myself. As far as Audible goes, there's an incredible amount of really cool dramas up there, which I'm really into, like a lot of audio dramas and alien stuff, and it's great quality. So yeah. I understand what you mean. It would be if they would do that, that would be something else. To if it were like $9.95, I might drop my Audible subscription at $14.95.
See, that's something I definitely would do. I definitely would do the Book Plus. So I'm surprised they didn't get into that market, and maybe there was a reason behind it, but obviously they had thought of it.
I mean, even just access to everything in iBooks. Even without recording. And like, I would love if they were to record and produce. Like, who cares about the whole TV thing? Like, make good audiobooks. Do what Audible is doing instead, because that's hugely popular, and there's not a million services like that. There's one that everybody uses, if you don't count Bard and things like that.
Right.
Just buying them off the internet like a regular person. Yeah. That would have been such a
more. You're saying we are irregular now?
Yes.
Mike? Okay. just making sure.
No doubt. But that would have been a way better idea. Everyone, you get access, unlimited access to everything in iBooks, and then you can get these extra audio downloads on top of it.
Yeah. I think that would be a huge success.
I do too.
Plus, we won't know until this fall, folks, how much it is, and will that be a different day, a different subject? Mm-hmm. When we see the contents and see how much it is, we'll talk more about that then. But we did get a nice big update with iOS 12.2. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more stuff in here than a lot of people realize. I don't think, you know, we're getting to the point like there's nothing really new in here. This one actually had a few things. Yes, there's a lot of small things. One of the biggest things, I definitely would update to 12.2 because it fixes over 50 critical bugs. And security wise,
One of them is dictation has gotten so much better with Siri. I just can't believe it.
That's a critical bug.
Now, don't rush out because I said that. I'm being totally facetious, you guys. So.
Yeah. We discussed last month some of the things you obviously knew about the new services is now in here that for Canadian folks, we got new emojis. We also got...
there's a big A up there for an emergency, emoji.
It's an A one, an emoji.
So you say, how's it going? Then you press that little button. So it's, how's it going, eh?
I'm just shaking my head at this whole conversation.
Right, I'm sure you are.
Yeah, the new maple syrup thing too.
So I've lost all my Canadian friends now. So
the new HomeKit stuff is now in there.
Right.
A couple of cool stuff like the airplane now can be played in the background while it's streaming, and you can do things on your phone. I guess you couldn't do that before, and so now you can do that, which I hadn't heard about that. The obviously with the new Apple Card coming out, the wallet app has gotten a new UI interface change. It seems to be more streamlined. I like it. It's a little easier to get through. The Safari, you're going to know something new in there too. So if you ever go to a site that uses HTTPS with an S on it for security instead of just HTTP, if it's unsecured, it's going to tell you now if that certificate is definitely verified and certified. I've gone across a couple sites that warned me this is not certified, but you can still surf on this page. So that was nice to know. Because
is that the http://, big R page that is unsecure?
Well, do you have an
send me your send me your credit card information and I'll take care of you. That page is not safe.
Geez. The about section got some new things.
That's right.
There's the one you should see now. If you see a version on there, you can just double tap that, and I'll tell you that it also say 12.2. If you double tap that, it'll tell you the actual 12.2 point, you know, that really long number. They also put a the Apple Care purchases. So if you're an Apple Care folks support, stuff that will now be listed. It shows you how long you have left with your Apple Care and when it's about to expire. Like mine will say my warranty is still good until September 28th or something like that. So that's something new to check out, which is kind of cool.
Do Apple Care?
I don't
either.
Nope. I go through phones every year. It's already under a hardware warranty.
Yeah, same here.
I just never make mistakes, so I don't even.
Well, you just did. So I think, you guys, I think that I have found a bug in the iOS 12.2. Seriously, I think I really have found a bug.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think I found a bug, too.
Which one do you?
I'm having problems with the rotor actions, not remembering to set on action. So if I go to a web page that goes straight to headings, right?
Yeah.
I'll go back to my mail. It's still on heading.
Yeah, that's what I found too. That's one of them.
I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. That was not in the beta, only in the final, because I was on the beta. I did not have any of that problem until the GM came out. That was nothing that I could do about it or report. So that was a nasty one. What else did you find then?
Well, I found that when I'm in my streaming media and then I leave the media, so let's say that I'm listening to Spotify or whatever or something, when I go out of the app, way up at the top of my status, I still see the media controls open. It's taking up that whole area.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to double check that. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen any of these weird problems, please do report it to Apple. We want that to be nabbed. And unfortunately, some of these things just popped up on the last GM because they were hiding, you know, the Nish Plus and all that stuff that they didn't want to have in beta, of course. Siri has a new command now. You can say, what is my air quality index now? So you can ask for that. And speaking of Siri, the Hey Siri setup is totally different now.
That did you say hate Siri?
Hey Siri.
Whoops, hey. mine's going off.
I don't have that information.
She said she doesn't have that information. That's it.
And as obviously as everybody have heard, the audio messages has improved, which is great. The quality of the audio. So if you send a message to each other with a message by audio, you'll find that the quality is great. Now, I had one user tell me that it has not improved on the Mac. So if I were to send a message by audio on the Mac, it's still the low-grade, old-style phone quality. So that's disappointing.
I don't know if that – I'm not disputing what he or she hears. I'm hearing that it's taking a while, even though it's invoked. I hear it's taking a while to roll it out to all of the
So you think it's a
participants?
Rollout.
I think it is, but I don't quote me. But this is what I'm led to believe because my friend, I have one friend out here.
and that one friend
tells me that his is beautiful audio on his Mac.
Oh, well, see, maybe it's just rolling out.
It may be. But again, I can't say for sure, but this friend isn't an audiophile. My only friend, thank God, is an audiophilist. So.
two more things. These two are controversial, and I am going to bring it out here today because as a team and a community, we are getting sick and tired of Apple not fixing any existing voiceover bugs. And this is the oops number of voiceover release. It fixed one Braille bug that Scott was having. Great, but there's still three major Braille issues we're still having, and I can't remember how many other bugs do we have. And I'm just very disappointed because it's 12.2. You had a long time, and we reported these things way back in the fall, and they still haven't been fixed. So I don't know what they've been doing. So we got another rollout with no voiceover accessibility fix. It's like, my God, what are you guys doing?
Well, they're working on Siri, obviously.
Yeah.
We're going to put everybody on that team, the Siri team. Yeah, that's right. This is supposed to be the quality and insurance and improvement year. And I think on an average grade, I'm going to give them a C for going that far and doing that, what they say. I give them a C, but I'll give them a D on Braille fixes. And I'm almost would give them an F, but they have fixed a few things, so I have to give them a D. So one of those first years that we really had issues as a team, and we were kind of frustrated. This other issue, there is a new feature for voiceover users out there. A lot of people didn't know about this. We reported this on Monday, and I think it finally started to sink in with people, and a lot of people are up arms and outraged by this. There is a new accessibility event feature for VoiceOver. What is that? How do I find it? You go into the settings, go to accessibility, go under vision. There's a new button called web. If you double tap that, by default, this is on. This allows for Safari to tell the site that you're using VoiceOver So some sort of accessibility assistive
technology. Yeah.
That we, and so they'd be able to improve their sites for our use. Now, a lot of people up arm about this because it did come out of the blues. Nobody knew about this, or there are no documentation. I think people were upset because it was set to default on. And a lot of people felt that they don't want to be like Red Fly. They don't want to, the people to know that they're blind. And I get both sides of this, but I'm thinking, well, they do that already on Windows, guys, with a screen reader.
Yeah.
They already do this on Android. And but people are very upset about it. So I want to see what you two thought about this. Does it really separate us more so from sighted people, or why?
Well, it's supposed to help accessibility, right?
Yeah, the idea makes sense. Like, hey, here's you're obviously using an additional piece of software for this experience. Let's try to make it better. The idea on the surface is fine.
It is assistive tech alerts, and I'd leave it on. I mean, because I'm probably going to open up a whole big thing here, and it's fine. But if I go outside, I'm carrying a, what's that thing called? A cane.
Oh, one of those canes, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or I have a dog or whatever, and dogs in harness or whatever, so they already know you can't see anyway. And if you're blind, then, I mean, so what? I think it's no more than that. And if they, I suppose it's a choice of will. People think that you should turn it on, or, you know, but what if you don't know about it?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, so with the screen reader for the Windows, when we start surfing, I don't think there's an option to turn that off at all.
No, I don't think there is either.
Yeah, so, but this gives you the option to turn it off. So I thank the Lord that they did give us the option to turn it on.
That is, that's good, yep. And on by default, if you're using a screen reader like VoiceOver, whatever, well, obviously that's what you'd be using, but
some people are saying they would like to have that choice when they get the update to say, hey, here's a new feature. Do you want this enabled on or off?
Well, if they really want to know how to turn it off, it's good that they, maybe they don't know how to use their assistive technology, and they should go in there and find that and turn it off, and maybe that would help some people. I don't know.
That's the thing, is that this came as a surprise for everybody. We knew about it, but we didn't know the extent of it because there was no documentation on it. That's why we reported there's a new feature. We don't know. But, you know, I'm one of those like, hey, if it makes my surfing experience easier and that much better, go for it. I have no problem. I'm using private incognito mode anyway. So it isn't like they're going to track me all the time, but anyway, that's just something for people to wear. There is a new accessibility feature in there.
Were people upset about that?
Oh, yeah. There is a big uproar on this. You got to believe it. There are.
I'm out of the loop. Like, my first thought on that is like, hey, look, this is here to help improve things for you. If you don't want to recognize maybe that, unfortunately, sometimes we have to do things differently, just shut off VoiceOver and have at it. You know, if you want to be just like everybody else, then be like them and don't use the excessive tech if these kinds of things bug you, because they help improve the software.
You know, I saw a survey a number of years ago when they start.
Ouch.
Doing
screen reader.
I know it's a little harsh there. I apologize. But I don't know. It's just like whenever something happens, people want to complain about it. And I'm like, you guys, is there any way to win? Because, like, here you got this, you got VoiceOver, you got all this stuff. Here's this thing to help it talk to websites so maybe it'll work better. And you're still mad. Like, how are we supposed to win?
And I don't understand it. I don't mean to cut you off, Tom, but when you were going into that next little thing, but there are still people today, and you know, when I was way up north, there were more people out there that I was dealing with that had never heard of assistive tech for the Apple Watch and the iPhones. And oh my gosh, for me, it was kind of a, I mean this in a good way, it was kind of a dog and pony show, because, you know, they would say, why are you wearing that Apple Watch? You can't use it anyway. Can you? you know. So I had to go through and show them the whole thing, and I had to show them the voiceover stuff, and then they would say like, "Oh, that's too much for me to remember, too much for me to know." And these are like people that were in their 80s and 90s and 70s, and you know, they had quite a bit of vision. But what surprised me, and then I'll I'll let you speak again. But when I saw all these people up there, all these people that were, you know, in that age group, they all had tablets and iPads, and I was really surprised. It really opened up my way of thinking that boy, the world has changed, but yet they still don't know that we can, as blind people, can use assistive tech for their watches and stuff.
This is not new. This is something that is always, if something comes up that is going to be controversial, it's going to split right down the middle of on one side and one side. I just want to make people aware of that this new feature was there, and
some
of the things that people are saying, and you know, we may be totally different in voices and thoughts what you have, and that's all right. And I see both sides to this. And it is something to think about.
I only see one side.
I did see a survey some years ago. They polled the blind community. Do you care if the website know that you're on a screen reader? And it was like 76% of the people say, no, we don't care. So, I mean, this was done like 4 years ago. So, I don't know. So, there are going to be those naysayers, and there are going to be those haters, and there's going to be those that love it. So, there's nothing right or wrong. It's just something that for you to be aware about.
Be aware. And I mean, everybody has an opinion. I love it. But there is a constructive way to go about change if that's what you want.
Well, at least you can have the option. If you don't like it,
right.
I get it. You don't want it default on. I get that. Just go turned off. Now totally. You know about it, go turned off.
Yeah. And if you want to see something change, regardless of what it is, like there's a constructive way to do that. And just being a nightmare online on your Twitter account doesn't do any good. It just makes me not want to have anything to do with you.
But would not that be weird if you walked into an Apple store or whatever and like everything, there was a paradigm shift that every time you turned on an iPad or an iPhone or whatever, the screen reader would be on by default?
Well, you need a setting on your Apple Watch as a sensor thing that tells every other device in a certain range that it's you. And as soon as you pick it up, it just says, hey there, Randy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on for you. No, that would be so weird, because honestly, if I turn VoiceOver off on a device that I'm trying to demonstrate to myself or to a worker within that store, I turn it off and I leave the whatever, you know, shop that I'm in, I leave it on. I don't shut it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they have to go up and find the settings, because I'm really trying to educate the the population. Seriously, I'm because they don't know it's there.
True. And then you got to know. There's some other news. There's just quick news. A lot of these are going to be a little smaller bits. For those Apple Music lovers, it is now available for your Echo Fire. Thank goodness. And it is coming to the UK. I know a lot of people from the UK say, when is it coming? When is it coming to Apple Music on these Echo devices? It is coming very soon. And so that is great to know. One of my favorite is the Google Duplex. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's coming to the iOS. It's not going to be a Pixel 3 exclusive anymore. It is rolling out to your Google Assistant app in several weeks, and it'll be rolling out to everyone at some point. So not everybody gets it at once, but you will be able to use the Google Duplex. That's a scary little technology, but I'm kind of anxious to try it, though.
Tell me how it is, because I'm distancing myself from Google intentionally.
I will, because for those that don't know what the Google Duplex is, it allows the AI to make calls for you to create an appointment with doctors and stuff. It does it by itself. So, and these people don't even know that it's a robot. But I think there's now a warning. It says this is a Google Assistant Duplex, and this is a robot talking to them. So they get that.
Is this?
Have you? Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to ask really quick, is this the natural evolution of that big red button that old people used to wear on their neck around in the 90s? When you fall down, you push that button. You know what I'm talking about? My grandma had one. And it would just like call the EMS beep right away. If like if you fell down and you lived, because she lived alone and had these buttons all over the place. Slap one of those things and they'd show up. So this thing, I mean, I assume it's probably not for emergencies, right? It's just like, hey, I need to go get my
Hair appointment or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's just exclusively just for appointments and reservations. That's it.
It is. But did you click on that demo button that?
I have not.
You should.
Okay, I'll try that. So there's a demo button within the Google Assistant?
They advertise this, and then there's a button to hear a demonstration. You can't interact, but you can actually hear it.
Oh.
And it's just, now, to me, the voice is pretty darn good. I'm pretty amazed. But to my ear, and let's face it, we all train our ears to listen for speech inflections and things like that. I can still tell.
Yeah, but that's better, though. We're used to that. But if you are one of those users who have never heard of the TTS voices and stuff, they probably don't even, and they're busy, you know, they're just answering phones all the time. They just don't even take a second. They might say, that sounds kind of odd, but probably don't know.
I don't want it to be perfect.
But it may be at some point.
No, I don't. No, because that's when they take over.
Someday it will. I promise you.
I'm fighting back against the machine. I'm starting now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
we need to not get better at this.
Yeah, it's almost perfect, but there's some little inflection that's not quite perfect. Sorry, my dogs are going off here. Actually, those are robot dogs that are going off. I don't really have a dog, but yeah, it's true. You can tell just a little bit that, and you're right. I think if they're really busy, they might know. But have you ever heard of these robo call killers that that kill robo? They like play these recordings, and they're real people, and they think that they're talking, but they're not there. It's not a robot voice. It's their robot.
It's just
se.
An audio recording that somebody's made, and it plays automatically in place of it.
And they don't know.
It's people hysterical because they'll say, "I can't hear you. I'm really, It's just it got some funny instance, but I do have one of those, and it doesn't work perfectly. It'll get about 80% of the spam bots, but
who do you have? I'm just curious.
I think it's called Haya.
I have that.
And I have Haya, and it seemed to work for the most part. There's still a lot that gets through, but I have Haya. It's free, and I love it because you don't have to do a subscription and like the other ones do. They require to have monthly.
You just have to make sure it's updated. I love it, and I love Umail, too, because it does that too. It kills spoofing, and I just love it. I hardly get anything anymore. My one friend though, I was telling you about that, he gets through. But I love those two apps.
I've never even tried them.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Speaking of new apps, you guys seen the new Scene AI app that now has the Photos Touch Explorer?
Huh? Yep, I have.
I was not impressed at all.
Nor was I.
Yeah, I mean, you get a picture and it says lamp. No. Sherlock.
That's my girlfriend.
Why is she just saying you're a lamp?
She's wearing a shade.
I know the direction they're going with, and say someday, years and years down the road, the AI will be much better, but this, I didn't see anything wow about this. I think the only thing that was cool is that I was able to customize the order of the channels.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, but for this, taking a photo and just putting your finger on it, and I'll tell you what it is. Tree, dog, grass. I'm thinking, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being...
No, I think you're right. I'd like to see it say tree, dog aiming at tree.
Yeah, describe it. I want detailed descriptions.
Yeah.
Oh God! I mean, am I the only one?
I agree with you.
You guys see any benefits of it?
I personally don't, but
I think if it gets to the point where there's Tom, Angela, and it tells you people, I think that would be kind of impressive. If you do facial recognition that only stays on your device. I think that would be cool to see which photo is what, but I mean, I still think it's crude and still archaic, but we got a long way to go. So Microsoft was pretty happy about it and they were pretty excited, but I think realistically in reality, it wasn't that big of a step forward for anyone.
Well, remember the guy that had, that was really working with it. He's gone to some other, business. So maybe it was an individual that really thought it was cool and they added it in. True. I'm just speculating.
Yeah. Be My Eyes added a new partner. Google is now. So now you have Microsoft and Google. You can contact directly from Be My Eyes. Now that was big. I wanted to make sure everybody knew about that. If you don't know what Be My Eyes is, get it. It will be something. It will be your best friend ever. It's an app that where you have volunteer services, people that come and tell you if you need help with something like what's on my screen or anything like that, they'll be able to help you step you through.
Oh, it's helped me so many times.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. FlickType, for those that are FlickType users, and Chirp for Twitter now has FlickType built in. So you can now tweet much faster by using FlickType. Of course, you have to, I think you
subscribe.
Have to have a subscription to it in order for that to work. Is that,
did you guys use that?
I don't. I tried it. I think it's cool, but I don't think I would use it enough to say it would be worth my subscription.
To pay for the subscription. Yeah.
I use it every single day. I love it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Randy had some news he wanted to share about VoRail. For those that remember way, way back in the days, we have VoRail. Take it away, Randy. Tell them about what they have done with VoRail.
All right, I will. I'm not going to demonstrate it, but just suffice it to say that there are apps out there that are using a non-standard voiceover commands. They, such as like Dice World or some of these others, and the reason, and I'll tell you right out front, that the reason that they went this way is because they don't have enough money to add these, to go with voiceover standard. And there's so many other things that they can't do that you can do now, being a non-voiceover user. So it's self-voicing. But what's neat about the self-voicing is that you can go into settings and go actually into using your voices that you have. The trick is, if you have an Alex voice, let's say, on your phone, you can use that as their screen reader, which I have never heard of that before. Maybe Dice World does it, but I don't know if they do. So if you're an Alex user or any other voiceover, really good speech engine like Karen or whatever, you can make that your default voice for VoRail. You can the gestures are very good. You can either set it for three-finger pull-down for refresh or three-finger pull-down to go back a screen, and those are all in settings. They have gestures to move forward and backward through a list of your contacts or your feeds. And that's, when I say that's basically it, they have, there's much more to it. So if you're a subscriber to VoRail, then you might know, or if you're not.
Be aware.
Be aware. And a lot of people don't like change. So they said, well, I'm done. But, I like change if it's for the better. And I think this actually is, you get a lot more done quickly rather than looking for tabs. You use flicking and swiping. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I think it's just a great step forward. And a lot of your apps are, well, I won't say a lot, but some of your apps are already starting to roll this stuff out. Go ahead, Tom. That's it.
No, I think that you're right. I think that to let people know about VoRail is that we're talking a complete UI rehaul.
Shift, yep.
Very different. It is, for those have heard us say it many times, it's Unity-based. So they have moved from a native iOS app to more of a Unity base. And a lot of developers doing that because that way they can just write one code that will work on Android and iOS.
That's the beautiful part. Yeah, they can be on Android or iOS. And so let's just say that someday I would switch to Android. And if I were using the Vireo product or maybe even Dice World, I think they do the same thing. Not the same gestures. I could have it on my device and still use it. I wouldn't have to learn a whole bunch of commands.
There are some people that do not like how Unity feels because it is a little bit slower when it comes to reaction time with your finger. And sometimes you feel like you double tap and it didn't see it, so you have to do it again. So there are some pros and cons to Unity, so be aware that I think it's not rolled out yet, but it will be coming out soon, right?
It's rolled out now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's live. Okay.
It's live.
So if you guys haven't seen Vireo in a long time, go get it and see what you think of it. Subscription is still part of that. How much is it per month?
It's $4.95. I think it's $4.95. Yeah, it is $4.95. But that means that if you're a subscriber, you know, then you can go get it. But if you're not, then you have to pay to use it. Now, I'm not going to go into the details about what I think of that issue. But anyway,
Yeah, that was when I stopped using Vireo.
But, quick thing is it's good for direct messages, and that's what I use it for. Now, I can safely say that since it's been subscription-based and since the UI has changed, I would say 99.99999% of drama is gone. It's all...
That is worth it. It's still $5. I would pay maybe $1, maybe $2, but $5, that's a little steep for me. Yeah,
but they're doing, I agree, but they're still doing amazing things with the updates. You see an update, you see two a week now, at least.
And then it's coming to
Android. Yeah, and it's coming to Android too. So that's all I want to say. I'm not trying to promote. I'm just trying to.
Randy gets 20% for everyone. On this link, every referral. Oh god.
Well, you know what? Obviously, you know you're close because there are referral codes that you can get if you are a subscriber. So I could.
There you go. Throw that code out.
I could throw that code out like on accessibility moving forward or wherever I wanted to, I could put it out.
Yeah, but email Randy.
Yeah, there was that Twitch streamer that got a free Tesla.
Yeah, there you go.
1,223 people are emailing.
Yeah, well, it's like getting a month for free is basically what it is.
So oh, is you, it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you get a referral code from any user, you can get a free month and see if you like it. Kick the tires around and...
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know. As always, I have two tips to finalize and wrap up the show. The first one is if you ever want to call someone and use a speakerphone with your Siri, you can do that.
Yes.
Yes. All you have to do is say, call such and such on speaker. That's all you got to do. This is simple command is that, and you will be placed on speakerphone. So you no longer have to call somebody and look at your phone and flick, 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 find the speaker button, double tap. You can do that automatically with Siri. I learned that just not too long ago. I thought that was a cool feature.
It works automatically right after it says, do you want to call their mobile or their home?
There you go. You want to call their mobile or work? And then you say, I want mobile. Do you want to call blah, blah, blah? Yeah, mobile. Do you want to call?
So make sure you say, hey, call Thomas on speakerphone. It's hey. Call Thomas on speakerphone. Don't have to do the hey. You just say call Thomas or call Randy on speakerphone. That is
you still have to say hey Siri.
Not necessarily. Not if I hold down the side button.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is if you want to have a totally an automatic experience, yep.
Right.
You can say, you know, hoy Siri. I'm doing that because I don't want everybody's devices to go. You can say hoy Siri, call Thomas speaker and it will do it. But the thing is, you know, they'll say, well, which Thomas do you want to speak to? Or do you want mobile? Or
true. You're still going to have to go through that process.
And it might not work.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're not being facetious here. It may work. It may not.
My last tip, I really like this one. I didn't even know about this. I'm glad I found this. If you use Safari a lot and you come across a site that has reader capability, you hit get this option you can press. It says reader at the top. What that means is that if reader is on, it like trims out all the stuff and just gives you the meat of the article. So all the things get removed, all the navigation, all that. I use this all the time when I had that option on. But what I didn't know, I always just tapped it and it comes on. What I didn't know, if you double tap and hold, then you get the option to say, automatically do this for this website every time, or the other one and the big one, do it for every site that has this availability.
Oh, we can't use that.
Oh, I do. That way.
Oh, we can't do that.
I know. It is.
Great tip, Thomas. Great, great tip. I did not know that. Cool.
It was. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. I wanted to share that with everybody. And of course, I think it'll be very useful for everyone. All right, guys. Well, that is going to do for Unleash March 2019. I appreciate you both being on here. We talked about a lot of stuff here today.
Yes, we did. And we appreciate doing this for you guys. I'm really happy I could be here this time to do it. Thank goodness I'm in a stable, non-moving...
middle of the wilderness somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm really happy to be here and talking to you guys.
This is fun. This is like one of my favorite podcasts of the month. Don't tell my wife. But it's fun to just hang out.
It is.
Talk about this kind of stuff.
Learn about all the cool stuff.
Yeah, without getting super into the weeds about it sometimes too, which
I
like that.
Yeah, we just kind of just glance over things and just talk about it and don't really get into the details. That's pretty much what I like about this podcast as well. So, and I hope our listeners do as well. And as always, you can email us at unleash@applevis.com. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. And that's going to do for us. I am Thomas Donville, also go by the name of Naughty Mouse. Until next time, guys, we'll see you next month. Bye-bye.
This AppleVis Unleashed podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.